Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. This week's episode of Andy's Girls was recorded before Victoria Gumbelson's historic announcement that she is leaving the Real Housewives of Orange County. The OG of the OC, rest in peace. Our thoughts and prayers are with Steve Lodge and the 5 to 7 production assistants currently trapped in her basement during this difficult time. Enjoy this week's episode. You don't need a goodie bag because I'm the best present.
I come from old money. My husband's old, and he gives me money.
You guys. It's Andy's Girls, episode 143. I need to intro you, like, immediately.
Sure.
I'm here with Madeline Davies, culture writer and editor, and I have to tell you, instinctively, I'm sure we'll get to this, instinctively, I just got so excited when you used... It's old money, forgetting that there was a second part to it. So, Jen Aiden, you and I have a lot in common. Literally, my fake ears literally perked, yeah. Like on top of my head, not the actual working ones.
Yeah.
Literally went, oh my God, old money, oh my God.
I do love when they get into that on The Housewives, where it's just like the more established people, you know, who like to swing that around. And it's like, none of you are classy. So it's like, I don't know what big old money dick you're swinging.
Totally. And conversely, even if you're not like a super, super alum of any particular franchise, when you don't swing your money dick and other people are like, is there a dick to see? Because I don't see you swinging it. Like, what the fuck is going on? I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough. So we're just going to dive in. I feel like we should dive in. But so tell me your Housewives journey. When did you start watching? What franchises are you obsessed with? Tell me everything.
Okay, so I actually owe a lot to my mom, who is a Real Housewives connoisseur.
Shout out to moms, you guys.
Yeah, all moms. Mother's Day brunches, you know, drag queen Mother's Day brunches.
I love a drag brunch moment.
Yeah, so my mom was like a very much an early adapter of reality television.
Really?
And was very quick to defend it when it was more popular to say like reality television is trash. My mom referred to herself as a cultural anthropologist, and that's why she got
to watch these shows.
I
am obsessed with your mother.
Yeah, so she has been watching since the very beginning. And then I would watch with her, and then I just got obsessed with it also. I think New York was my very first season of really getting into it, and Beverly Hills.
And New York season one was your first season, or yeah. did you start with like three and then you're like, oh my God, this is the fucking best?
Season one. In like Orange County, my mom had been watching, but it took me a longer time to like feel it. I don't know. It felt like, for some reason, it felt like nastier or like lower somehow. But now that I've watched all of it, and I'm just like, oh, it's all good.
I mean, we also have to stop and say that yes. you walked in the door and are sitting on the people's couch in attire that I am not going to let you leave until you yeah. hand over to me. It is the compliment to friend of the show, Tracy Morrissey's housewife sweatshirt yeah. sweatshirt. And tell the folks, we're gonna have to take a photo of it. Tell the folks yeah. at home what you're wearing.
So you go back several episodes, you'll learn that Tracy Morrissey is wearing a sweatshirt that is doesn't just have Vicki Gunvalson on right. it, but is Vicki Gunvalson.
The spirit.
Yeah. And it's like to the arms, it's, you know, the whole thing. It's not just
And yours is
centered.
Front and back, right? It is.
Oh yeah.
And so you are wearing.
Yeah. So I actually made her that. I mean, I ordered it for her and then made my own, which is Shannon Bedore at the same reunion. And when we stand next to each other, it looks like they're responding to each other.
Do you ever go out with her wearing your themed attire?
I don't know if we've ever gone out together wearing it. I will say I get like nice cat called by women when wearing it all the time.
Oh,
and like
God.
It's like across all like ages and races and everything. Like people will yell at me from cars that they like my sweatshirt.
I mean, I feel like the United Nations just needs to move to Bravo HQ because this sure. is the bond that keeps us all together.
Yeah.
It's just, it. First off, I stand for Shan. I like yeah. die for Shan. And it's Shannon getting teary crying, I'm assuming about like domestic violence allegations.
Well, so this was.
Like, what actual moment of history?
So this is, this shirt has taken a dark turn.
I know, sorry. But no, like no. she's like having it, it's like she's so emotional.
I think that's why I don't wear it as much anymore. But it's when her and Vicky had a falling out.
Right.
And so.
And she was like, you're a bad friend. You're like talking yeah. shit. Yes. Don't blame it on Kelly.
Exactly. And so I think it was during that season. And then, of course, like later we find out that like Vicky still should have kept her mouth shut. But of course, who knows?
And P.S. Shannon, obviously, her face is huge
yeah.
and very vulnerable and still stunning. She looks gorgeous. She's obviously crying. There are tears in her yeah. eyes right below your neck. But she looks impeccable. Makeup on point. Eyeshadow on point. Diamonds there. Pearl moment. Yeah. Gorgeous white sheath. Fantastic.
And this was kind of in her like weird happy period, like when like her and David yeah. thought they were gonna make it work.
It always includes a little bit of a cry with yeah. Shan. Fun yeah. Shannon.
She's a delicate flower, my Shannon.
So what were your thoughts about the Orange County reunion? Where do you stand?
I find it very funny when Vicky's ego gets checked.
Mm.
Just because she obviously loses her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like that amazing moment where she's complaining to her fiance, Steve, that they're making her wait. And he finally goes, well, let's go.
Right.
And she like finds the camera and is just like, no,
that's not an option. I either complain or I complain more. But me yeah. leaving is the worst possible moment for anybody.
And we all know Andy has a line with housewives, and we've seen a couple wives cross it, which is when she says, remember where you came from.
Right.
You kind of see her epitaph, I feel like, being written.
Yeah. And it's interesting because line crossing, I think Leanne did it on Dallas because yes. he obviously in every moment in which he had to talk about either Leanne in and of herself or the situation with this whole racism arc, the disgust in yeah. his eyes. It's like it's when you cross the line, it's hard to walk that back.
Yeah.
At least with Vicky, he still appreciates her, adores her, and yeah. knows she's insane.
And he's so kind like of like, she's a clown. Like, right. of course she'd say something that crazy.
Right.
But yeah, I think you saw it with Carol too, when she mm-hmm. told him he was full of shit.
Yep.
Like you just kind of saw just like her future on that show, no matter how much she wants to say that she has a career that she wants to pursue otherwise.
Yeah, she didn't leave of her own accord. I think she yeah. left her body, and he decided she also left the cast in
yeah.
that in that wonderful, terrific moment.
Yeah.
So do you think Vicky's sayonara?
I mean, I kind of think that the show could has maybe this, I hate saying this.
Do it. This is the place. Like this is your safe space.
it's, I think post Brooks, I think maybe it's time to hang up the hat.
Yeah. The lemon is fully squeezed at this point. It's a tart, delightful taste, but we've moved on.
Well, and everybody's like too savvy, I think, now that if they're new and come on the show, they know how it's played. Mm-hmm. Like Tamara just like, you know, every time it's like, oh, Tamara, oh my God, Tamara stirred the pot. Tamara stirred the pot. And she's like, yeah, that's literally been her job for several seasons. You know, I feel like no one... I mean, like, Kelly Dodd is amazing in that she's just such a tornado.
Yeah, she's the center orange for a reason. She is, I would say, the most important piece of that puzzle right now. And, you know, I thought Vicky 100% would be leaving. My assumption was that Tamara should be demoted in some way. And she's been putting some stuff on social that, curiously, includes camera crews in the background. So my guess is that... she's definitely back. I just don't know if it's as friend of or more likely that she's back full time. Yeah. They're not quite ready.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully like more of like Ryan having his life fall apart.
I found that such a downer.
I find it a downer in the sense that I find him despicable.
Yeah.
But then also, I don't know. I liked Spencer. I liked him as coming up as a little leftist.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I could see them like just like clearing the decks, keeping Kelly, and then just being like, who else can we get on the show? Maybe bring back Megan King Edmonds now that she's...
She's having a rough go of it this week. So she started her own intimacy podcast and decided during one of these initial episodes that she was going to talk about the fact that she and Jim had threesomes and that she sort of did it to make him happy or whatever. And... he was currently on a trip to Cabo with the woman that he invited into their bedroom and that she was really upset that this woman didn't tell her because they were like friends of some measure or something. And it's just such a shit show. And then he responds to everything on Us Magazine and his rep, which like, why the fuck do you need a rep? I guess he just has someone on speed dial every time he cheats on a wife when they're like going through the process. Cause it's happened enough times that like, maybe this is his promo code of like buy four, get one free or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jim has said like, she shouldn't be doing this. She should be focusing on the divorce. Nothing good comes from like saying these things, which shut the fuck up.
I mean, I know people really hate her, but he's disgusting.
People don't really hate her. Do people really hate her?
I know really hates her.
No.
And I feel like a weird defender of Megan Edmonds.
Everyone I know loves her. What's the reasoning behind hatred?
I mean,
she's our private eye.
That was kind of my thought where I was like, my argument has always been she made the Brooks scandal happen.
She essentially single-handedly brought down Brooks.
And she like has that vibe of a housewife that's kind of too smart to not have a job, which is not to say she's too smart, but like
she does sell candles.
Yes. Jimmy's candles.
Light mine, Megan King. I die for you. So what do they say?
She gets bored and then she like does insane things because she's so bored and like probably should like have a job doing like what Vicky does or something.
I mean, she did have one. She was on a reality TV show that made her, I'm sure, a nice, maybe not great, but a perfectly fine chunk of change. But wait, so what do your friends say?
I think I know some people who feel like Vicky herself is a victim of abuse, which I think is probably true to an extent, and feel like Megan really aggravated that for her. And then I think most people just find her really annoying.
Okay, was... Vicky was like emotionally refined. I could consider it. She was gaslit and then participated, and to be generous, I'll say like Stockholm syndrome style.
Yeah.
In the deception.
Well, I know like Brianna like had said, alluded to some things where Brooks got rough. And
oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Like,
He was physical.
Brianna's dad, I think, was abusive.
Right.
And so that's kind of was one of the more serious things I've heard about against Megan.
But if Megan is helping destroy Brooks, how does that turn viewer opinion against her? Wouldn't they be saying, because we love Vicky so much, shout out to Megan for getting Vicky out of this situation, even if Vicky was like super upset about it?
I think I don't know, just a couple people who I know who have this opinion, who, again, it's not a mass group of people. They feel like she maybe endangered Vicky.
Maybe similar to what people, and again, to super disagree, but like what people think about like Taylor and Camille in that scene.
Yeah.
And what Taylor herself tried to say on camera, which I totally disagreed with, because we knew behind the scenes that Taylor was telling everybody about this really dark side of Russell. And then on camera was like, but we're getting in the jet and we're flying here. Yeah. And who has Kennedy? And I'm living my best life. And it's like, cool. But Camille is bringing up a reality that hadn't been directly addressed on camera that they were directly addressing off.
Yeah.
And people were upset at her about it. And I think that, I mean, I fully support what Camille did. I also thought it was strange that Taylor was trying to throw LVP under the bus in that moment. Yes. There are other moments in which you can do that, or in which
plenty.
Lisa herself is throwing herself under the bus. But in that moment, I was like, go Camille for doing that. But I could understand that maybe some people who are angry at Camille might carry that same energy in this dynamic.
Well, and Camille, at least when she says in that moment, she's like, do you want me to say it? And I think Taylor foolishly says yes.
Right, because she doesn't think that it's actually, she thinks she's calling it's something her bluff. Else. Right. Yeah. Which is never a good idea. Don't call the bluff unless you're really okay with whatever comes out.
Yeah. I also am very creeped out by Taylor in general. I find her unseemly.
Did you read the...
Not because of the abuse stuff, obviously, but I just find her... I think she's a con artist.
Well, she... Julie Klausner did like this whole... Did you read those things about Shayna, whatever, Taylor's real name? Shayna something, and then she like changed it to Ford or whatever to pretend she was a member of the Ford family. No, she's a genuine grifter. She has a very interesting background and was a legit grifter, and then went on the show and pretended that she had gobs of money, which she and Russell didn't. They were just borrowing other people's, and then
that's
it all went
amazing.
To shit.
That's you could just tell. And there's one scene where she gets into, it's a reunion episode where she gets into a fight with Brandy, mm-hmm. and she's smiling through the whole thing as she's like, you might just want to be careful about that, you know, and she's grinning this freak grin.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I don't think you deserved, you know, physical abuse by any means, but I think that you guys had some sort of racket going on.
Yeah, it's interesting that on Beverly Hills, maybe because it just hadn't gotten to that point yet, the aspect of grifting wasn't a plot line, whereas now they're okay kind of like opening up the fourth wall and letting that be part of the story, except in some circumstances. Like, again, on Beverly Hills, when are we going to see what's going on with Dorit and PK? Because he's going to be in court until forever and ever, amen. So it's interesting that they didn't show the Taylor and Armstrong stuff. Now, it's possible that they didn't know at that time, or that they felt it wasn't helpful for the storyline.
Sure.
But now we're several seasons on, and they're, Beverly Hills specifically is kind of pursuing that same strategy, which is pretending that we live in the land of diamonds and rosé as concerning financial matters. And much like Jen Aiden, I need those receipts.
It does remind me of my favorite side character friend of, which is Dana/Pam. Who's
25,000?
Yeah, and also like my baby speaks Thai. Like what? My 2-year-old baby speaks Thai.
Oh my god!
And like
god.
One of the only times Kyle has ever been funny is when she starts like trying to like purposely re-up Dana and be like, "Oh, my daughter actually can speak the alphabet backwards," and you know.
Oh my god!
But there's it's funny because there's this season where she really clearly wants to be on the show, and then it doesn't work out. And then she comes back the next season as like a friend of Taylor's at one point. And she's already hammered by the time Taylor meets her. And she's like ripping cigs that she keeps lighting with the restaurant's candle votive.
God love her. And she was such a gift.
Yeah. And then she went to prison for a while.
Yeah, she did for like insurance fraud or something. Yeah. Listen, she needed a job and she got one. And God bless her. I love a woman entrepreneur.
Yeah. And I love just a woman who just, you know, again, like 25,000, you know, just like
someone's
so got to
pay for it. It took a couple people's copays, but she made it happen. She paid for those sunglasses and maybe a house or two or something more.
And she also had those like ravioli noodles style highlights where it's just like a chunk, you know.
It's a lasagna blonde.
A lasagna. Sorry, I meant to say lasagna.
Thank you so much.
Ravioli doesn't make any sense.
You know what? If it did, that would be problematic. So Madeline Davies, tell me a little bit about your favorite shows. What's your favorite Housewife franchise to watch?
Oof, okay. So if we want to talk about as they air now, or do we want to talk about just generally?
Let's do both. What's your I mean, like there are only two shows on right now, thank God, plus Vanderpump Rules as the chaser. So of the shows that have aired, I would say, you know, including these two in 2019, what was your most favorite recent season?
So probably, I think New York is the one that delivers the most consistently.
Okay, got it.
It maybe is not always the best, but I think it's had the least dips.
Yeah.
In quality. And they all, like, I don't know, the fact that they're all divorced for the most part and, like, just kind of getting wild, mm-hmm. I think adds a lot. I really love the international ones. Like, I love Melbourne and I love...
Do you watch Melbourne?
Auckland.
Wow.
Which, I don't know, because I think they, like, are slightly less studied in how to be reality TV stars.
Completely.
And, I don't know. Australia is just a funny place.
Is Melbourne still going on?
I don't... Oh, no, sorry.
No, that's okay.
I just kicked something.
No, please.
I don't think so.
I feel like it ended, maybe. I don't know. I don't watch the international because I feel like my plate is filled with all things U.S.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's a... Sorry.
No, that's okay. You're good. You're good.
Yeah, they just have like these amazing taglines that are just so funny. And they are all, again, they all, God bless Australia. I mean, like now more than ever. I feel now bad saying something bad about it. I donated money.
Good for you.
But I don't know. Like, there's one woman on it who's kind of the LVP of Melbourne.
Gina?
Her name is Gina. Yeah. And she's a lawyer.
Yeah. I love her. I love her face work. I love the makeup. I love everything about it. I love the layers, like the actual literal layers of eyeshadow. I love it all. I think it's amazing.
And there's this episode where they're trying to come up with her perfume line, what mm-hmm. it's going to be called. And they want to name it something like Senza Paura, which means like no fear in Italian.
Oh.
But because she's Italian.
Into it.
But then she goes back to another conceptualization meeting. And the guy's like, we got to go by your brand, which is Gina. and he's like, so I think we just call it Gina by Gina. Because you're Gina. And, like, I'm just, like, I hope that I hear that as, like, a whisper on my deathbed. Like, I don't need to hear my grandchildren. I don't need to hear someone being, like, you lived a good life. I just want to hear, like, Gina, boy, Gina.
Wait, did she end up doing that?
I believe so.
Because that's actually super smart. That's what it should be.
Yeah, Gina by Gina.
This is the problem, is when they don't like incorporate their name, because that's what it needs to be, some sort of wink to Housewives or Bravo or ideally your name.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I think the accents like probably just make me giddy a little bit.
Oh my God.
But yeah, they haven't aired one in a couple of years. I mean, I think Atlanta is always strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they have also like kind of kept it up, especially, I don't know, now that Kenya's back, I'm happier.
Oh my God. I'm so glad she's back. And the thing with Kenya is that, again, respect your villains. She gives us so much. She's so smart. She's so funny. This whole like Tanya thinking she could come within even a mile of Kenya with the wig stuff is hilarious. It's because you know she's going to get buried. And I'm okay with that. It's like the little fish saying like, oh, look at the little shark. Let me like throw something at it and like fuck with you. And the shark's like, I'm going to fucking eat you alive. I'm going to bury you. It's going to be painful and terrible. And you're going to regret every second of it. And I'm going to love it. Amen.
You can almost hear it just like smiling as it's like, okay.
Oh,
you want to throw a stone? Let's do it.
I mean, it's a really uneven battle, but I'm going to appreciate every moment of it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be pretty, and thank God.
Well, one thing I find irritating is when people, when they're putting together their like all-star league,
mm-hmm.
that like what their fantasy all-star housewives would be, people tend to really focus on heavy hitters. They like want their Vickies, they want their Ramones.
Yeah, it's always alpha. It's always alpha.
And it's just like that. Atlanta is a show that has like always known its balance.
I feel like every season when people start talking about what's your dream team, I mean, Atlanta typically delivers.
Yeah,
it really does. All of it kind of works together. I mean, I myself am surprised that Eva hasn't popped off in the way that, for example, Claudia Jordan did in her one season. But even the way in which she's not
about her feet.
even the way that Eva's like not necessarily succeeding and like coming out on top of the pack, which is hard because you have so many all-star greatest of all time housewives. It still works. Like it's still going to be great. It's going to be great to watch her and Candy go up against each other because Candy is going to bury her. And Eva's really funny and smart, but Candy is like, I think, going to win in that battle. And then watching what happens with Portia and like Portia and Kenya having this alliance, which I am obsessed with. I love when Portia and Kenya and Portia and Candy are happy and are like being shady sassy with each other, but respect each other's game. So seeing what happens there, because Portia's been a little shady of Kenya online, and Kenya's been responding to that shade with some of her own that she's masking as confusion. I mean, there are, watching the ways that these women's relationships have really transitioned is endlessly fascinating, because at the end of the day, some of them are friends IRL. Most of them, I would say, are not, but they work so well together.
And they all know their job.
Right.
No one's trying to like figure out, you know, a new position where it's just like, you know, Candy knows that she is the, you know, Greek chorus.
KMZ.
She has to be, the voice of reason who breaks everything down for people, but then also maybe gets things moving when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Portia is, you know, kind of the ditzy, chaotic source of, I don't know, has a lot of wool pulled over her eyes.
Not anymore, though. I feel like now she's new. That was back in the Cordell age. Yeah. Now we're in the renaissance of P. And I feel like she's really showing people that she can actually be very emotionally intelligent and vulnerable and still like funny AF at the same time.
I have to.
And maybe hopeful to a fault.
Yeah. I have to confess something, which is that I had to take I broke up with Atlanta for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Post Phaedra.
Well, I completely understand why you would want to, because it's disgusting. I mean, what happened during that breakup? Did you stop watching and then skip a couple seasons?
Yeah. And so I've actually come back this season. It's kind of when I like my heart finally feels ready.
Wow. Wait, so you haven't seen the evolution of Portia. So you didn't see Portia last season. Okay.
I got some gaps in my knowledge. Portia is worth me to admit.
No, that's great. I think this is a healing place. And this is, again, the people's couch, a safe space in which to tell us your thoughts and feels. And I think that you will. That's so fascinating. And I think that you will respect Portia even more this season when you see the evolution and Portia really standing up to Nene and to a lot of people and to herself and going on this relationship journey with Dennis or whatever that was 5 minutes long and then ooh pops out a baby. Watching her spinoff, Portia having a baby, whatever the fuck it's called. Fantastic.
I do really like her sister a lot.
Lauren is like one of the best housewives of all time, and she's a goddamn sister. Like it's Lauren. The scene with Dennis and his mom, which I don't even know what to say there, and Portia, Lauren, and Miss Diane was so fantastic to me, because maybe not for Dennis, but for me watching it, seeing that Portia really does have such a strong support system, maybe out of any housewife on any franchise, where even if her like estranged fiance, whatever, is a piece of shit, her mom seems so fantastic. Her sister so smart, so loving, so the both of them so empathetic. And, you know, them saying out loud, like, we thought Portia was going to break the cycle. We thought that this were, and it's not her responsibility, it's yours.
Yeah.
I thought was really powerful and makes me feel good that even if she's going through this weirdness with Dennis, and PS sidebar, she went on Watch What Happens this week and it does not, she was being extremely evasive about where things are with Dennis and saying, I'm working on my relationship. And Andy would try to push her and she was like, I'm not going to go any further.
She would not budge.
Right. So I'm guessing that those photos of the 4 a.m. snacks that Dennis was taking with some ladies at a diner or whatever really sinking in, and who knows what's happening there. But I'm appreciative that Lauren and Miss Diane are really at her side, and hopefully Dennis's mom will be too.
Yeah, I mean, also, especially when you see kind of conversely the way Mama Joyce like manipulates Candy and is
one of the worst. I'm sorry. One of the worst mothers. I'm like whispering this into the microphone.
Because she's kind of this like she's this Rosalie type character where, you know, this like gypsy ass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I went to school for musical theater performance. And for a second, I was like, Rose Gold?
No. It's Gypsy is the girl, right? And the mom is Mama Rose.
Right. Yes. Yep. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's kind of like this lamprey of success and, you know, marine words. I don't know. I just feel like she just is a very jealous person and she wants like Candy to herself. you know, which is why she's always been so horrible to her partners.
Right. Yeah. It does seem like her insecurity comes out the most when Candy is in some sort of romantic relationship. Yeah.
Where it's nice to see like
financial or emotional.
Someone just like want the best for their daughter.
Yeah. Which it really feels like, I mean, like Miss Diane, first off, is like a total fucking sex pot. Gorgeous, stunning woman. And just seems so mature and centered. And I can't imagine what the fuck they were thinking when Cordell was in the picture, because he was seemingly such an awful guy. And so I wonder what they were thinking even when she was getting married, or maybe they were just so hopeful that it would work out. Juxtapose this with all things Dennis, who ostensibly is having this meeting to have a come to Jesus with the family of his estranged fiance, who he knew he fucked.
Yeah.
He fucked over these relatives by putting them in a position where they essentially had to choose. And of course, they're going to choose their beloved Portia. And then to invite his mom to protect him and not say anything. And yet this meeting is supposed to be all about honesty and truth. And you don't even tell Portia until the lasagna is out of the shopping bag being ready to be like placed on the table. And then you say, P.S. my mom is coming. Like
he needs his mommy.
But we need him to step the fuck up. Yeah. And even his behavior in that conversation where he's trying to place himself as some sort of victim, like I'm taking responsibility, but like, how can I call my daughter? And it's like, motherfucker, when you were fucking some other woman while your wife was pregnant, you weren't really concerned about your child.
Right.
So if this is hard for you and tough for you, that for a couple weeks or a month or whatever, you can't see your kid 24/7, because in order to see your kid, you have to like go through Portia's family, who are P.S. probably watching that child full time. Like, go fuck yourself. You don't deserve it.
Right. Yeah, like you have to like demonstrate responsibility before you can be given that responsibility.
Ooh, thank you for that translation.
Sure.
That's really good. Do you think that
I do a lot of therapy.
Oh my God, I love. Do you think that this is going to work out in the sense of if one considers working out them staying together, which is problematic in and of itself?
I don't think she needs him, which is, I think, helpful.
Yeah. And P.S. I'm so happy she doesn't need him financially.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking is like, I hope that if they do get married, there's like a lot of prenups involved
for her, because who knows who the fuck is paying for those hot dogs. That still hasn't been explained. Like, how does he have all this money to buy his child like ever evolving diamond studs? Like, where is that coming from? I think he owns like a tax center or something too. He has like a rant. I know we were like pretending he's a businessman, but like, I just want to know more about that business.
Well, I mean, I think that this, to bring me back to Phaedra. So my real issue with Phaedra is that I adore her and I feel very betrayed by her. So that is the real.
My eyes just literally popped out of my head the second you said adore.
I feel like I felt like I was Candy in that moment where I was just like, you did this?
Yeah.
And it really, I don't know. I consider myself such a savvy reality TV viewer that when someone like manages to pull the wool even over my eyes.
Yeah. The rapey wool, by the way. Let us not forget this was just like a random. She was on camera trying to say that her former friend was planning a sexual assault.
Yeah. No, like, it's disgusting.
Right. This is not a normal scenario.
In her first several seasons, I just found her to be so delightful. I loved her and Candy together. She was a good example of someone who could like have kids with someone like really hot but really dirtbaggy.
Yeah.
And it didn't really matter in that it's like she'll be fine without him.
Right.
You know, like she'll arguably is better without him.
Yeah.
But it's like her kids are like
magical,
are stunning, you know.
Yeah. And PJ is so cute, the cutest fucking little baby, and I just want the best for Portia. I mean,
so that's the only bit of Phaedra I would like her to continue into the future is like, you don't need him, it's fine.
Right. She doesn't need Dennis the way we all don't need Phaedra. So sorry.
I know, but I feel like I miss Prince Aiden.
I hear it. Well, who doesn't? Mr. President. 2020's coming. So listen, I have to talk about something because friend of the show, Pet Shop Boy, texted me yesterday while I was eating my favorite beloved fruit, pomegranate. And he sent me an image and I started choking on it because I was so shocked. I sent it immediately to OG of the AG, Damian Bellino, and was like, oh my God. And then I thought, for the last 24 hours, I cannot wait to record Andy's Girls. This is so fucking crazy. So streets are talking and I have some real gossip for you. Okay, get ready. So first off, do you remember this whole thing that happened on Wendy Williams where Wendy, so Nene texted Wendy at at some point during the show and was like, I'm quitting. And maybe she meant literally, maybe she meant figuratively, that right. she was quitting Atlanta. Wendy, because this is Wendy Williams, comes back from a commercial break and she's like, guys, guess what? Let me tell the entire nation, NeNe's leaving. And she just texted me and P.S. I know a secret that is so crazy that you guys are going to find out and you're going to feel so bad for her. And it has nothing related to health. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I actually was on Pet Shop Boys podcast a couple of weeks ago and he was talking about Wendy Williams, but not whatever breaking news you have.
Okay, so this is the reveal. Okay, so this is an image he sent me that was somebody's tweet and then a screenshot. This R-H-O-A-T is scalding. Someone left a comment on Tamara Tattle's article about Wendy's comments. They say that Greg got a woman pregnant when he was diagnosed with cancer. NeNe was going to leave him, but stayed. It's no wonder she was so angry. Hashtag Bravo TV. And this is the screenshot of the comment. I know, I'm literally screaming. Here's a screenshot of the comment on that article. Here it is. I hope I'm not breaking any rules. Never worry about that. Keep them coming. But I have a few family members who work in reality TV in Atlanta. One who used to work for this show and another who does Kenya's makeup. And all of their tea has always been accurate. Mama Joyce's streets are saying Greg had someone pregnant around the time he was diagnosed with cancer. NeNe planned to leave then, but couldn't because of the diagnosis. Allegedly, he never stopped seeing the chick, and NeNe found out. So first off, I was like, what the fuck is Wendy talking about? And I was thinking it had something to do with like Brent or one of the kids or her oldest yeah. kid. And like he's going through my baby mama drama with, I think he has two kids now or somebody's pregnant or whatever. Wasn't like paying the bills or something. I thought it had something to do with that. And then I was like, what is it? What is it? What is it? Because it's not health. And I couldn't figure it out. If this is true and my gut, my wonderfully diseased inside Tom is truly telling me that like this makes a lot of colonoscopy in a couple weeks, super thrilled, is really telling me that like this could 100% explain so much, including yeah. why NeNe was so angry, because she kept saying that he wasn't a good patient and whatever. And yeah. I understand caregiver caregiver burnout,
yeah.
which is when, you know, obviously it's exactly what it sounds like, which is someone caring for another family member and you get burned out and you sometimes behave in ways that might not make sense to the outside world, but you're dealing with so much stress and lack of sleep and whatever else that you sometimes can do things that you wouldn't ordinarily. So I thought it was a combination of that, but something didn't make sense to me because she just seemed so angry at him and I couldn't figure it out. And frankly, I'm sorry, this makes a lot of sense. Maybe there's a baby, maybe there's not, but if he was fucking somebody else and then he kept doing it and he has been really self-sabotaging to her since yeah. she became like Lenithia, or rather went from Lenithia to NeNe, like there's some real possibility here that this could be 100% real.
Sure. I mean, I believe it. Anything that I read that's not from Bravo, for the most part. I don't believe anything they tell me, but I believe like any comment, any like a fan theory, I'm like, yes, I believe you.
You don't believe anything that they tell you in the sense of like when they put out a release about something being like yeah. the best season of all time kind of stuff?
I've been lied to before.
Do you want to expand on that?
Well,
or
so
just like generally?
I mean, I worked for at Jezebel for years.
Yes, you did. And your pieces were fucking amazing. I was
so
like
much.
Going through your catalog this week. And I was like, I remember that. That was so good.
So I like had to like reach out to Bravo a couple times to confirm rumors about things.
Mm-hmm.
And like oftentimes people will be like, you know, on background,
mm-hmm.
that's not true. And then, of course, it is true.
Do you remember which one of those stories?
Danielle returning to New Jersey.
What a fucking nightmare. Maybe they were just hopeful it wouldn't happen. Maybe it was like some poor publicist was like, please don't make it
yeah.
happen.
And I could see like them not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
But also like I just think, you know, it's to their benefit to keep up the artifice where
yeah.
it's like what I love is like the kind of the machinations
yeah.
and, you know, what's going on behind the scenes and that type of thing. And so I find it really interesting when they're so resistant to share that stuff because there's this huge fan base that like will just gobble it up.
Yeah.
And so that's more kind of what I mean, where it's like, I would believe a comment quicker than I would believe just like.
Right. There's no vested interest from these people posting, regardless of whether or not it's true, because they don't have to worry about the mothership calling them into, you know, some exec's office to be reamed out.
I heard some kind of a really fun production goss, which I cannot. I don't know if it's true. It's
great.
Yeah.
Already in. Already. Again, already believe.
The best type of information to share. But I was talking to someone whose friend owns a restaurant on the Upper East Side that the housewives apparently shoot in a lot. And
can you tell me the name of the restaurant?
I don't know. Okay. So this is why, like, I feel comfortable sharing because I
I'll be there tomorrow.
Shrouded in a certain amount of ignorance.
Okay, great.
So, but apparently the restaurants pay Bravo to have the housewives come there, and then they pay extra for them to fight. Because that increases the likelihood that it's not going to get cut.
Oh, no. I don't love that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think, I don't know that I love the paying them at all. I would just think that essentially the show doesn't have to pay, you know, because it's like you're getting so much advertising. So I could see them being like, hey, we're going to shoot at... I don't know, not the Regency, but we're going to shoot like somewhere bougie on the Upper E. Can we have the space for 3 hours? We're not going to pay you, but you're not going to give a shit because you'll get some like terrific. Right.
I mean, so again, this is unconfirmed, but also just.
She
was very much like, she's like, that's why it's always at weird places like Sushi Rocks or whatever, where, you know, they get into these arguments. But I mean, I think the arguments still have some authenticity. But it's more just like, all right, you guys are going to meet to discuss your issues at whoever paid XYZ. And if you get a little more explosive.
But then they go to like Sarah Beth's and have like pancakes or whatever. Yeah. So then how does that? But that's just like a chill conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder with like a place that's like that, if they actually just, you know, Dorinda was just like, I just want pumpkin pancakes.
Right. You know? And it's just not going to really work out for her.
Yeah.
Wow. That blew my mind a little bit. Oh, I'm hopeful that that's not true. I'm fine with the restaurant paying. I'm just hopeful that they're not paying extra for drama because that would make me sad.
Yeah. But also, I'm like, I get it.
It's like, but yeah, but also,
this
I get
world,
it.
You know, this world we live in, everything's a simulation.
Everything's for sale. Well, I'm wondering, you know, I had a lot of strong feels about NeNe kind of checking out this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's like literally not on TV. So whether that means it's some sort of punishment for the closet stuff, which I don't totally buy, or this was the contract that was negotiated for X amount of episodes that she was getting paid X and Y, or that it was her exit out the door or whatever. But if this Greg stuff is real, I mean, my immediate instinct was like, must see it, must see the fallout, need a like one-on-one, lose out of rehab style, dramatic confessional moment with Andy that's like more serious than when Joe got shipped to Italy and they did like their fun little chat. Like I need a real real serious emotional thing where we like force NeNe to feel her feels, and we just, because that makes so much more sense. I feel so much more empathy for her, and I don't know how that affects her behavior so far this season and this weirdness with trying to show everyone that Cynthia is a bad person and it not working out and her potentially lying about this whole audio technology that doesn't exist where you're not recording and yet someone is seeing something and yet it's not on a phone call as it's happening. It's not just like putting someone on speaker or whatever.
I do sort of love any type of move though that's like, someone said something about you. I'm not a snitch, so I can't tell you what it is.
But it's this person.
But someone said something and it's someone you know.
And they have evidence and I'm going to tell you what that evidence is and then I'm going to change my mind halfway through and say it's something else and you're going to believe me. Okay, and we're going to work this out. I'm not a snitch. I'm a snitch. I'm not a bad person. I'm the victim, but we need to talk about our friendship because I want to really rebuild on it. And let's forget that my apology letter and Mazel letter was sent to the blogs and let's forget that those blogs confirmed that I was the one that leaked it or that my people did it obviously through me. Let's just really focus on our friendship and the potential for that. I think that's great. Yeah. I mean, like there's an element of it where I'm like, what, you're not worth a single dollar, but also I don't know.
I fell into like a lovely lull just hearing you say that where I'm like, okay, right? I agree.
Yeah. I mean, this will, again, I don't think this is going to come out on the season at all, but it's something that needs to be addressed. I wonder her next up when she's going to be on watch what happens or whatever next. I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah. Damn.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Truly.
Honestly, I was choking. I said, I texted Pat and I was like, I almost died. Like, I literally couldn't. And I was reading it and then I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, it's just so. Right? Because it's like so. But it was a satchel of gold sent from the gods. And it was just so.
Yeah.
Fascinating to me.
I.
Fascinating.
Just anytime one of those like bombs get dropped, I'm just screaming. I don't know. I love it.
Speaking of love. I really need us to transition to Jersey.
Okay, yes.
Which had such a tremendous episode.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I know we're going to talk about how fucking crass Jen Aden is and whatever else. I loved every second of it.
Same.
As we started today's episode talking about how important it is to talk about money, who has it, who doesn't, and how we can count it, I fucking loved every second. And yeah. I have to say, obviously, it's to use one of Brandy's favorite words, possibly trashy, but it's crass, it's wonderful, and you better believe that when I have a conversation with somebody and I hear a sniff of old money, as I did during that tagline, I get physically and emotionally charged.
Also, it's like, I don't know, I find it's, you're on this show because of that, you're on this show because you're rich, so then don't be like, how dare she look at my wealth. From like a, you know, a realistic standpoint, how dare she like covet my things?
Right.
And it's just like, that is what you're doing. Like, what is wrong with you?
I completely agree. And I also feel like there are two parts of this. One is like her asking a lot of questions because she's genuinely curious and doesn't have boundaries. That I co-sign and fully support. I would be that person that's like, okay, so where do you have your house? Okay, where? Okay, I'm going to Google with my fake husband.
Oh my God, yeah.
How much it costs, but I'm going to ask you in real time. Like, tell me about how you rent. Yeah, I'm going to pretend that I have enough financial security to make those decisions. So like, tell me about the bedrooms. Tell me about the location.
I look up like street easy prices on things all the time. So
I would
know.
If I knew how. Like, you're going to show me how to do that?
I'm sorry, it's too easy. Okay. So I don't know if my streets are that door
very easy. There are so many ways to like find out stupid shit, and I love to like ask people. And like, you know, somebody made a joke online, I forget who it was, but they tweeted like, the holidays are always really interesting on Instagram because you can see who has family money when they're doing these dumb photos of the tree. But I don't give a shit about the tree. I want to see like how the living room is appointed.
Yeah.
And I find that great. And I was literally grinning my fucking ass off. Grinning my ass off, that's a funny phrase. Year to year, cheek to cheek, just really, really thought it was great. Then I saw that some people were saying online, is it anti-Semitic in some of the things that Jen was saying, specific to like, you're cheap, you're thrifty, you're stingy. Which, I'm a Jew, but I'm not every Jew, so I can only speak to my own sensibility. I didn't get like a Hebrew trigger from it. I just thought, I mean, I really didn't. And then I saw those comments. I'm like, let me rewatch this, which I would have done anyway. But let me rewatch this knowing that. And I didn't feel it again, which again, doesn't mean that that isn't, you know, something that was done or that I should feel. Yeah. I just personally that didn't. I just felt like it was just Jen talking about the money.
She's like, not that you can be too dumb to be bigoted, but I don't think she's savvy enough to like put. Jen is savvy enough to make. Like these like subtle
cultural
insensitivities.
Yeah. I mean, I have hope for Jen that she can probably be that prejudiced. I just don't think that I mean, we do live in America after all.
I'm sure she has it. I just feel like it wouldn't be understated.
Right. I just think when she only sees like we live in the land of red, white, and blue, and Jen Aden only sees green.
Yeah.
And I love that about her. And I love the fact that she is completely fucking wrong when it comes to you are a bad, selfish person for saving money. Money, you know, when I die, I can't take that money with me, so I want to live a good life. And what Jackie is saying is, yeah, I'm going to die one day. I don't need to bring all of this money with me. It can actually help support future generations of my family. And P.S., if my kids want cheese pizza and you want foie gras, have your own fucking bring it. BYOFG. Like, you don't. This is not the way that I live my life. And frankly, as Buffy, friend of Unmarried to Medicine, says, wealth whispers. And Jen Aden is fucking yelling.
Yeah, I guess I love the yeller, though. And I also
old yeller.
I love old yeller. And I also love, I was going to say, and she's about to get like put down, you know, like old yeller.
A little bit.
I thought the pizza conversation was so funny. And not like she's like obviously in the wrong, but I.
But she believes it.
And I loved it. And I loved the idea of someone so entitled that they would go to someone's party and then later tell them that they were cheap for what they were serving.
So entitled and yet so disinterested and ignorant about how much money she actually has and having individual power and freedom to use those vast resources.
Sure.
Like Jen Aiden's like, my house is the biggest, but I don't have a country house. And P.S. first off, if your house is the biggest, but it's directly next to the highway and it's like completely has a resale value of $5 because the amount of people who would have an interest in having a 30,000 square foot home in God forbid wherever Hills, New Jersey is a small, small circle. But pretending that that square footage matters to literally anyone but her family Christmas parties. It's fascinating to me that she really thinks that money is the basis for expression and power.
Yeah.
And yet she doesn't necessarily have any interest in making or maintaining her own.
And like being like, you know, making money into more money or whatever.
And that she has found herself in a role with her husband where she almost feels it's not like subservient, like it's an intellectual handicap that she's creating where she feels like she shouldn't learn, that her role is specific to not knowing, but to being like the weird, funny caricature of it all, where she's going to go to China to get her furniture and spend $100,000 and like have an almost completely barren McMansion and not understand what it takes to fill it or anything else and not have any like design acuity or anything, but still maintain in her head that she is number one. I mean, the fissures in that, it's just
astounding.
It's so fantastic. Jen Aiden, her first scene, I was like, go fuck yourself. I have such love for her right now that even when I vehemently disagree with what she's saying, she's so entertaining and her flaws are flawless to me.
I am from the Midwest, and so I think like her ostentation and also just like sort of blunt confusion about
things, I love it,
is like, again, it's kind of, it's the, like what other people must feel like when shoplifting, I feel when like watching a person behave that way, because it's just so outside of wrong. Like my programming again to like ever complain about like a party, someone else's party, you know, like to ever call attention to, you know, just like we have so much like weird like stuffy Midwestern etiquette that it's just like when she just kind of tramples through a conversation, it's like, it's, you know, the scene in Jurassic Park where they like see dinosaurs for the first time.
Yes.
That's like how I feel.
Wow.
You know, this, the song comes in.
Yeah.
I'm Sam Neill, you know, looking up.
Oh my God.
At beautiful Jennifer.
We are Laura Derning our way through New Jersey. I cannot believe it, but like, I'm so enjoying Jersey. And this week, especially, like, and there were some real moments like Margaret, this didn't even occur to me, but like Margaret bringing up the lack of food and her eating those like snap pea snacks and saying, and Jen being like, she should have had pasta salad, and Margaret trying to make light of it and being like, well, she doesn't eat food, so she's not, it's not about a money thing. It's about like an eating disorder.
Yeah.
And then Jackie's reaction to all of that, which was so real. And she was like, you have no idea. We've seen those wedding photos of her where she is emaciated on her wedding day, and her really saying like, you cannot make light of this in any way. It is an illness that I live with every single day. And where I am now eating those snap peas is like night and day from where I once was. And that is something that is upsetting. You can't do it. And Margaret immediately being like, totally okay. Meanwhile, Teresa is saying she understands what loyalty is because she's invented it, and part of being loyal and a good friend is hurting them by being brutally honest.
Yeah.
Because I shouldn't have to have a filter. If I am a good friend of someone, I should be able to hurt their feelings no matter what and not have to apologize. And P.S. none of these rules apply to me.
Yeah, I mean, she's just
fascinating.
Like a brute of a person, I think.
Yeah, I think she's like a little bit of like a caged zoo animal that is let out on occasion, and when she is, it's like this thing does not know how to behave, empathize, sit, not devour its young kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I think Gorga put it very well when she was saying, like, what didn't she say something about how she's like, you have never seen the
You're
real...
ignorant.
She's like, well, what'd she say? She was talking about, I think, Margaret's relationship with Teresa. And she was like, you have met post-prison Teresa.
Oh, yeah,
which is
yeah.
not the real Teresa.
Right.
The real Teresa goes from 0 to 100
right.
so quickly. And she's like, this is just your first taste.
Right, which is a really good point.
Yeah. And I mean, so like, talk about a show that has figured out its balance. It took so many seasons for it to get back on track, I feel.
Yeah, it did.
And like this
and those
season,
were bad seasons.
Yeah, like really bad.
Like when New York takes a dip, but it's still a good dip and it's a rewatch. Those lost seasons of New Jersey should never be refound. Like for real.
Yeah, I pretend like they don't really exist.
As one should.
And then this season has just been so good. And you're just like, look at you. Comeback kid.
And Andy tweeted this morning that he had just wrapped the reunion and that it was crazy and exhausting and whatever else, and that they are, you know, in top form. I mean, I wonder if Danielle will be there, I guess, because of her fake retirement, which they did because they were afraid she was going to like murder various cameramen, which happened on Watch What Happens, which I refuse to see and will never watch a clip of ever for the rest of my life. Amen. Again, I wonder if she'll be there or not. I mean, it's slightly insane that she wouldn't be, because I feel like she needs to be held to account in a way that Andy hasn't. From what I've heard of her appearance on Watch What Happens, it seemed like he treated it more seriously when Margaret was a guest on the show and much less when Danielle was, from what I've heard. But it'll be fascinating. I mean, it's shitty that she gets to kind of choose her exit and can pretend that her behavior was in any way appropriate or valid or entertaining. But
I mean, just her overall history of being able to, like, I don't know. It's so sociopathic, you know, the way
she is. She's a true sociopath.
Rewrites everything. And I don't know. It's annoying watching her get to do it again, where you're just like, we know, we all know. How come she gets to do this when we all know?
I can't. And Teresa's like sprint to, I'm not taking sides. It's all about my opinion. Again, my opinion's the only one that matters.
Right.
How dare you say that I am taking her side, as I show you exactly how I am taking her side by continuing to take her side.
And throwing water at Jennifer.
Which was so stupid. But it was so fascinating to me because it's like she really doesn't give a shit about anyone. But even when she's defending her defense of Danielle, it feels like she's reading a script. It doesn't feel like her art. It feels artificial in a way that I mean, I guess Teresa in and of herself is artificial on the show.
Right.
Because I don't know. She's been on for so long. She doesn't really want to.
Strategic.
Right. Know? Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with that.
I recently rewatched the Posh Fashion Show showdown where...
with Ashley and the Hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just seeing Teresa and Danielle's relationship then, it makes it even clearer that this is just like a partnership of convenience at this point. Where it's just like, you don't really come back from the way that they talk to each other. Like, I don't believe that you now like each other.
It's just so, I totally agree. And it's just so interesting to me that Teresa keeps saying, I'm not picking sides, but you have to be loyal to me. And after my mom died and I got a daily text, that made everything okay, knowing that their history, including that epic moment that you just described. But at the same time, what am I trying to say? At the same time, she's making a choice, obviously, by sticking with Danielle over Margaret. And she has a complete lack of empathy that she can't even find it upon herself to say, like, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah. I mean, Teresa is so childish.
Yeah.
That I think that's why she garners sympathy from people, is because she just, like, doesn't process things the way an adult should process things. But it's also just like, but you're not a child and grow up.
Yeah, it's like we always make a joke out of the fact of like she's Italian and the translation is different in her head, but it's really like a lack of empathy and sympathy that gets lost in the wheels inside.
Sure.
You know, like that's really where the problem is. It's not her understanding basic words.
Right.
It's like her not understanding basic humanity.
Yeah, or like just Like, you, I mean, empathy is the word for it. Where right? Just like recognizing that other people have emotions that also deserve respect and understanding.
I was working my way through a tough exit from a former gentleman person who we had this like weird fucked up friendship thing we were trying out, even though it's like I've seen him, when Harry Met Sally, 70 times, and it was like he knew I still had feelings for him. He allegedly had whatever, and he was like, let's play this out. And at one point, right before
he allegedly had whatever,
I mean, like, for real, it was a fucking mess. But at one point he said, this is before I start, oh no, this is like after I started therapy, when I would tell my therapist things and she was like, cool, let's have an extra appointment, but are you available Thursday? But there was a point where he said, I don't have empathy for people. And he just said it casually. And because I was in the middle of it with him, yeah, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I didn't process. And then I became an example of him not having empathy. Yeah. And I said that to my therapist along with some other stuff one day. And she looked at me dead on. And I was like, yeah, but I think I'm going to call him. And she was like, no. And then she threw her hand over her mouth. She's like, I know I'm not supposed to say that, but like, absolutely don't. And then she said, Sarah, the description of what he is saying is like genuine. She's like, I'm not going to diagnose him. I haven't seen him, but this is a psychopath. She's like, right, the one of the like trademark, hallmark, whatever traits of a psychopath is that they don't have empathy. And I was like, oh, this is just like a thing he's working through. And she's like, no. this is very, very bad. And not to say that Tree, right, or Tree, you know, that she's has psychotic traits, but it, yeah, is not a great sign that she seems completely incapable of understanding other people's pain. Yeah,
I think that's what I mean when I say that she's like a child, is like she doesn't, it's, you know, it's like the thing, you like close your eyes and you're like, all right, the world is gone. And then you open them and they're like, oh, now the world just turned back on. You know, like it's very like that, you know, where it's
yeah, that's so good.
You know, like things exist outside of you, like, yeah, in a way.
And Joe Gorga, I think, can have empathetic moments. So can definitely Melissa can.
Yeah. I mean, like just being stupid doesn't stop you from having empathy.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
I don't think Melissa's stupid. I think Joe is very stupid, but.
Well, you know, yeah, probably. But like with Tree, it's like unrelated to that. Yeah. The empathy factor is just really non-existent. And then there's that moment at the table. Did you think Melissa was really that upset about the silverware? It's
no,
a question.
I actually, to the point where I was very
confused
as to what was going on.
Yeah.
Also, when Melissa kept saying like, walk away, like telling Jen to like back down.
Yeah.
I was like, or what?
For real.
That's what I kept waiting, like, or what? You yeah. know, like, I don't think you're going to do anything either. I think you're saying walk away so that you don't have to do anything.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird. I watched the after show a couple times, as I do, and someone was saying something. Maybe it was Dolores or maybe it was Jen Eden that was like, she was doing that because she was like pumping it up for the cameras.
Sure.
That she was just going extra for the sake of being extra, which is possible, but also flip side is those,
she's
like...
She's on display.
Each and every day. The Veruca impersonations of Jen Eden with like, Daddy, I laugh my fucking ass off. It's the funniest thing that Melissa Gorga has ever said, which, yeah, I know maybe isn't the highest bar, but it was like so genuinely entertaining that I was so proud of her.
Yeah.
And she did it more than once. I fucking loved it. I thought it was terrific.
I find her very charming despite myself.
Right?
You know, like I see her as being someone who's like probably not the most genuine person, you know, like... I don't know if she's as like nice and level-headed, obviously, as she seems.
Oh, like IRL?
Yeah. But I like on the show, I always just like appreciate her presence.
Have you heard anything about what she's like?
No, I just can't imagine like being married into that family and being normal. Plus, she like wrote that book a while ago that like essentially was very, very about like happy marriages. And it was full of very disturbing advice.
Yeah, I haven't read it, but I feel like I don't remember who. Maybe it was Tracy Morrissey that told me about it. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I didn't realize how fucking crazy it gets.
Yeah, it like kind of endorses marital rape.
Yeah, not great.
No, not ideal.
Great.
But that also like felt very much just like what her role in the show was then of like, you know, I'm a good wife.
Yeah.
You know, or trying to prove like that it's not her fault that Joe has this falling out with his family.
Yeah, aside from this like random weird aggressive thing that we're gonna see play out, I mean, these episodes, last several episodes this season, has been so top notch. I'm just so, I really honestly never thought it would be possible. I'm so appreciative to them. I hope that Bravo sees that with Danielle hopefully out or whatever, having left the show, and hopefully the world and globe, that they really don't need her, that she's like almost, she will be quickly become an impediment. And there's enough, there are enough battles, friction, real friendships, that it just continues to look more and more manufactured between her and Tree. And like, compare that to the love felt with like Margaret and Melissa and Jackie, and like the fun of like Jen Aiden just with herself, frankly, and her Jackie account. And you know, Dolores is there trying to do whatever she's doing to love her and whatever. And I just think, you know, like, this is a really solid cast right now, and there are various ways for it to play out on the reunion and for the rest of the season. And I'm really appreciative. I really honestly have to take one for the team, take a knee and say, I really didn't think this would happen. And I was wrong. I was wrong.
I love being proved wrong in this.
Yeah,
type
so
of
do
thing.
I.
You know, like, it's for everyone's good.
Right. I love the franchises. I will always love the franchises first before any individual housewife, I say, while staring adoringly at a sweatshirt that you're wearing with the face of Shannon Bador.
So it looks like she's...
God bless. All the more. but I really, at the end of the day, love the franchises. And, you know, I've called out various franchises when I say, like, they're really sick. Something is wrong. And thinking about that with Beverly Hills, whenever that fucking trailer comes out, it's probably come out while we're talking. But, you know, you have
to... Sorry for that side.
No, for real. It's necessary and warranted. But, you know, it's so nice to see a franchise that I really thought was fucked and watch how it has had its own little renaissance and been able to recreate and introduce new people in a new dynamic. And you still have some OGs there, or an OG there, and really appreciate it. And then we saw these fucking pictures and a little 12-second teaser for this motherfucking hummus commercial that's coming out in the Super Bowl. And frankly, and the Oscar goes too, because I am so excited to see Caroline and Teresa continue to dislike each other, but cash that fucking hummus check.
Yeah.
And maybe this will possibly introduce a door to Caroline coming back in some way if Bravo pays her hummus money. And hopefully that would be a delicious snack, I have to say. Like, love Jersey as it is. Danielle, you're gone from this universe, never to return. I personally would welcome Caroline Manzo back into the fold.
Yeah, I do. I think Dina actually might be one of my, like, as far as like a person, like, of like the people who I would actually want to interact with in real life. I think Dina Manzo was among my
interesting
top.
Okay.
She just seems like she's got a good head on her shoulders.
All right.
She picked her kid over the show, which I feel like was not it's not a popular choice. But the bringing up Caroline made me think, and then the whole on display performance was, do you remember when they were trying to like pitch a romance between Albie and Alexa Joel?
Yeah, when they went to, I want to say it wasn't Cafe Carlo, when they went to the Oak Room at the Plaza, when like they were pretending that like, and Albie definitely looked nervous meeting her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a
but
strange
little
arc. But I
don't think that's his type.
Well, he's essentially pre-engaged to some, I'm sure.
A woman?
Yeah. Caroline said it at BravoCon. He's essentially engaged.
Essentially engaged.
Listen, Albie Manzo, come on this show and tell me about your loves, your life, what's happening. And I say that because I just need a conduit to Chris Manzo, who is the love of my life, my future first husband, possibly, or and or second or third.
Yeah.
The love of my life. One of the greatest housewives.
You guys can have a family strip club car wash together.
Would love it.
Yeah.
Would love it. And this is in no way related to my love for Caroline Manzo, which is eternal. Yeah. And the fact that my father-in-law would be magnificent. I would not want to get married at the Brownstone. That could not happen. Apologies to Lauren Scalia.
It would happen, though.
It would not, could not happen. Would not, could not, would never. But I just fucking love, I like genuinely have a crush on him. Like, no joke. He is my type. He's funny. He's smart. He has empathy in spades.
You could play like an erotic version of Ham Game.
and I'm a Jewish vegetarian. Sure. But I would fucking throw that ham. I'd throw that ham and some other stuff. No, I do not. You don't have to eat it. Listen, Jackie and I have a lot in common. It's our religious and some other philosophical traits. But I would absolutely throw some ham in Chris Manzo's direction. Slide into my DMs, Chris Manzo.
What are you doing?
Please tell me if he... I have never seen a photo... Not that I've looked, but I've never seen a photo of him with, like, a significant other. It's always been Albie with, like, a variety of young, pretty brunettes that are, like, always cheerleader. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, like, and also, I literally think everyone's gay. So it's like...
Well, I mean, everyone kind of is gay. But
everyone is super gay.
We all exist on a spectrum. And, you know, just to transition once again back to my love for Chris Manzo, Albie, anybody, it's interesting to me that Chris does not seem to have ever had a public romantic relationship.
Sure.
But I would love to hear Greg Bennett, somebody, slide into my DMs.
Do you?
Let me know.
Remember Richard Lawson's recaps of Real Housewives of New Jersey on Gawker?
Yeah.
And he had the whole thing about how, like, he made Chris into kind of this Shakespearean Iago type who is, like, always in the shadows.
Iago.
And I laugh about it a lot. Still thinking about it.
Oh, my God. Does Richard Lawson still watch Housewives?
I don't think so. That's when I taught, he kind of was like, I don't think it was even necessarily his thing. When
wasn't
he was
a passion.
I mean, because he made such beautiful art out of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
What an artiste.
Truly. I recommend everyone go back and read the Luann fan fiction that he wrote.
Amen.
Still some of the best stuff I've ever read.
Oh, my God. Completely agree. Listen, I hate to end this convo, but I want to talk to you about a very interesting satchel that a listener gave me about Dallas. And we're going to do it on a Patreon episode of Andy's Girls in just a hot second. So in the meantime, so guys, if you're not on my Patreon, you should be joining that ASAP for an exclusive little combo we're going to have about a certain Dallas housewife and a certain wedding and some certain gossip and certain scoop. But anyway, I do love, see what I did there with the I do from the weddings and the marriages and stuff? What a transition. What a delight.
This is why she's the iconic. Professional, folks.
Iconic. Tell the folks at home how to follow you online.
I am Madeline_Ray on Twitter. And that is where to follow me.
Awkward.
I like have a Vanderpump Rules newsletter that I haven't written all season. So who knows?
Well, I can't wait for the season to start. We're 3 episodes in.
I know exactly where I'm just like, I don't know if writing a newsletter is worth it. Just like I don't know if the show is worth it, but
yeah, I think if you just sigh and then press send, you're good to go.
It's called Read You Next Tuesday. So you can, you could, if you want to subscribe to that, and we'll see if I ever feel moved to touch it again.
Oh my God. Well, with your permission, I would love to take some sort of photo of this Shannon Bedore sweatshirt situation.
It'd be my pleasure.
And guys, you'll be able to see that on Instagram at Dame Galley, Twitter at Sarah Galley. Sign up for that Patreon because, I just realized that this episode of Andy's Girls will be up before the Patreon episode goes up. But what you're going to do is sign up for the Andy's Girls Patreon when it happens and you'll be able to listen to this exclusive scoop.
You know, as Jen said, you can't take that money with you.
That's exactly it. Guys, so that Patreon's coming soon and this episode that we just discussed about Dallas will be on it. This was such a pleasure. I'm so glad to have you
here. Thank you so
much
for having me. This is my favorite thing to talk about and it was really a lot of fun.
Amazing. Guys, I hope you love this and we'll talk to you again soon. Okay, bye-bye.